This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Blacklist After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Blacklist After Show.
Welcome to the Blacklist AfterBuzz After Show. Those tunes you hear are that of what, Nando?
The Temples.
The Temples?
Yes, this was on the episode that we saw.
Is this the beginning or the end?
This is in the beginning when we first see The Undertaker in that darkened room doing that mushroom smoothie, whatever that was.
All his holistic stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Keeping himself healthy. Welcome to the show. I said that already. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined, as always, by my main man, Nando Velasquez.
Hello, everybody. How you doing?
And to his right, the lovely Julia Carely.
Hi, everybody. Missed you last week.
And that void you feel if you're listening on iTunes is that of Joe Sanfilippo, who's not here.
Sure.
He's doing something better than hanging out with us.
Can you drink this early in the day?
Yes, he must be drunk again.
It must be it.
If you listen to any of our shows, whenever someone's not here, they're drunk.
But we're joined by Stephen Lemieux.
Yeah, we are. Here.
Who's drunk too?
Woo! Blacklist.
Yes.
Yes, there he is. There you go. Proof right there.
Proof that I'm drunk.
Yes.
There it is.
Proof that he's drunk. Woo!
So, Blacklist episode 18, Milton Bobbitt. You know, Milton Bobbitt. He's a sorry-ass blacklister. He's the wackest blacklister of the bunch. I mean, I'm glad he's number 185, right?
135.
Okay, he should have been 185. I don't know how many blacklisters
there
are.
Whoever put the numbers this week, like, you're fired.
I mean...
You're fired.
There must be... If he's number 135, there must be 134 blacklisters. And somehow he made 135.
Wow.
I was not a fan of him. I was not a fan of his storyline. I was not a fan of any of this, the procedural part of the show. And I can say this because I love the show. It's fine. Mm-hmm. But all the procedural part didn't work for me. This was definitely one of those filler episodes we talk about when you have 22 episodes. About five are kind of meh. This was one of those for me. Although we did get some advancement in the Tom thing, kinda,
mm-hmm.
But it just felt a little blah to me. I don't know, Nando. What'd you think?
I disagree a little bit.
Okay.
I kind of understand where you're going at with Milton. Uh-huh. I think the thing with Milton is that he seems to be a composite of several other blacklisters that we've seen.
Sure.
There's a little bit of the stew maker in him when you see him. When you saw him sitting in that chair with his in his underwear, I guess, mm-hmm. and you see all the scabs. I don't even know if they were really scars. They were more like scabs.
Yeah.
And you saw, obviously, him taking his nose off. And there's a little bit of pity there because, obviously, this guy had
Don't get me started with the nose.
A sad
do the sound
life.
Effect.
I'm not going to do it.
But I think I can understand why you might not have an appeal to this blacklister because I feel like we've seen bits and pieces of this guy's story in other blacklisters, some of the other more, what's the word I'm looking for, sympathetic blacklisters that we've seen.
Okay.
But I agree. You know, obviously now that the Tom stuff's been kicking in and now that Lizzie and Red know, now that Lizzie especially knows that something's up with Tom, that seems to be the stuff that we're gravitating to. So it's almost like the procedural part of the show, I almost want to say, is kind of filler-esque. It's kind of like filler.
Well, I mean, you know, we're rocketing towards the finale here, which is episode 22. So I got to think, and we're on break next week, so you got to figure these last five will be crackerjack and happening. And this is like, you know, like I said, you get five duds a year. I'm calling this one a dud.
Really? Wow.
Go, Julia. I'm just calling it. Go.
No, that's right. Not my favorite episode by any means. I was not into this blacklister at all. I didn't find him to be exciting. I didn't find him to be scary. I didn't find him to be sympathetic.
Well, he didn't like you either.
Well, that's fine. The only thing that this episode to me had to offer was, you know, there was a little cat and mouse going on between a little standoff between Lizzie and Tom. That was kind of fun. We got a little Lizzie and her badassery. That was really fun.
Sure, sure.
Got some great quips this episode from our man Red.
Yes, he's very quippy.
But I mean, the Blacklister himself, he was just, the whole story was just so blah and so full of holes.
Yeah, I
like
agree.
The holes in his right. nose.
Oh, Julia, what's that?
Oh. Boop. Got your nose.
Got your nose. I just grabbed Julia's nose.
For those of you on iTunes, Julia now has no nose.
It? Where
is it? She doesn't know where her nose is for people on iTunes.
So the Undertaker, I mean, cool name, right? The Undertaker.
What? Also, yes. Why wasn't he called the Undertaker?
That's the really curious
Why is part. The Undertaker not the Blacklister? Why is it Milton Bobbitt?
Well, because we don't want him to be called the nose. I mean, the Undertaker sounds like cooler than the nose
Yeah,
guy.
But the Stewmaker. What about all the other ones?
Names.
They all had names.
I don't know. Yeah.
The only other thing I could think of is maybe there's another Undertaker that they're saving the Undertaker slate for another person.
Well, Milton Bobbitt. I think that was an homage to John Wayne Bobbitt.
Both missing an appendage.
Yes. Missing an appendage.
Is the nose an appendage? I guess it is, right?
I mean, when it's off,
The other one is? Yeah, I guess when it's off, it is. Okay.
All right.
When someone's got it.
So I didn't quite. So I just explained to me, someone in the room.
Uh-oh.
Like, what? Explain to me, someone in the room, what his ailment was. So he.
Type 2 diabetes.
Type 2 diabetes. Mm-hmm. He was treated by this doctor.
He was patient zero in this clinical trial.
Okay, got it. It's clinical trial, which was kind of a shamockery.
Seems to have gone somewhat awry.
Yes.
And they were covering it up.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
I guess they were covering up, or they just moved past him and just let him. Whatever.
And he decided.
Yeah, he decided to. Well, you know, he had that big speech toward the end where he said his life, you know, he got to help a lot of people because of this.
Sure.
He, you know, don't feel sorry for him. He actually led a full life.
Okay.
So, but he still felt like these people needed to pay.
So why is he exacting his revenge now? Is he on his last leg, maybe?
Well, the question I have, too, is why is he on Red's radar? I mean, obviously, they had that throwaway thing at the end with him and Harold where he says, is this why you did this? You wanted the list?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, there's obviously some greater purpose to this, but I'm still trying to understand, you know, he got on, Lizzie brought him, like, I think it's a guy. Someone, people hire him to kill people in these weird ways. So it was almost like The Following, too, those weird deaths, you know, those random kind of like, you know, anyway. Mm. But so if the whole notion that Red is onto this guy because this guy is some sort of assassin who gets hired through, you know, the back channels to go assassinate people, and really he's just a guy without a nose who's exacting revenge because he wants people to be okay. But how did Red know that? Like,
well, no.
I don't know,
holes.
The assassinations in this episode were personal. But just like some of the other contract killers that they've gone for in the Blacklist, he obviously has some clientele that pay him to do some major assassinations. And because the killer is a suicide bomber or you know, somebody who kills themselves in the process, and it's somebody completely out of the blue that no one would expect. This guy has been untraceable, even to the FBI. This is one of those people that the FBI had no clue. They could have looked at the paper that day about that taxi accident and said, oh, wow, some taxi driver got into an accident and not thought anything of it.
And just so I have this right, his diabolical methodology is to just kindly approach him and be like, you're dying. You have a family. You need some insurance money. Why don't you go kill yourself and help me out, too? That's his methodology, right?
Apparently, he has a very persuasive way of getting to them. But, you know, look, you saw him talk to that one guy.
Yeah.
And obviously that guy wanted to
support. That's my man from The Wire.
Mm. Oh, that's right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's your man from The Wire.
This is my man.
Okay,
Wire.
Just making
Bless
sure. But you saw that. I mean, you figured these kinds of people who are terminally ill have lots of bills to pay, and they're worried about their family, and he caters to that.
They also have some sort of failing mental capacity,
they mentioned.
So maybe they're a little bit more...
So they're easier to be persuaded.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
This is what we're led to believe.
Yes.
All right.
I'm filling in the holes of his nose.
Please. I'm okay. I'm on record being like... out on the Undertaker.
We saw that.
So sorry,
that's
Internet.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. You tell me I'm wrong, Internet. Please tell me that Undertaker's awesome. But let's do get into what is way more interesting than the Undertaker, the whole cat and mouse game between Tom and Lizzie.
Are we going back to Undertaker later? because I just want to say one thing.
Yeah, which please. I was done with it, but go ahead.
I just thought at least, and we can talk about it a little bit later with Rensler, because you notice he had a couple of really good moments this episode. I just love the way he was able to finish off the episode when the Undertaker, when Milton was with that last guy, right. And you knew he was just going to kill himself.
Right.
And Rensler went over there and arrested the guy.
Yeah.
For the clinical trials and got him out of there, and the Undertaker still killed himself. But I thought that was actually pretty ingenious. I actually did like that plot.
Yeah, that was a good move. It was a very, very risky move, by the way.
Can I say I am digging Wrestler since his girl died?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
You know? I mean, that sounds really awful, but very predatory.
Julia likes to just pounce on him right when it's just like the Undertaker. He's in mourning. His mental capacity might be diminished, and she's like, hey.
I see an opening.
There you go.
No, I think his approach to the job and to his relationships has definitely has shifted, and I like the way in which it's shifted. I like his approach now.
Okay.
Kind of doesn't give no shits.
Yeah.
I like that. But then he also has a little bit of empathy towards Lizzie and working on her relationship, so I feel like he has been reawakened, perhaps, by Audrey and her passing.
I mean, well, Wrestler has always kind of had this sort of like this swag and fearlessness about him, but it was really driven by anger and sort of like, you know, red. And now they found a way to sort of let him keep this edge, but now that he's like not so anti Reddington, but he keeps his edge because obviously he lost the woman he loves. So I like that device, but it also softens him in a way. So it's a better way, because remember we were complaining in early on, like, this guy's just angry.
Yeah.
What's wrong with this guy?
Yeah.
And so now he can be angry, but he also has a softer side for when he...
And you saw him with Lizzie at one point when she's like, you got personal stuff, go handle it. It's like, oh, get rid of Tom already. Just whatever it is. I have no idea that you think Tom's a spy and you're about to try and out him, but just get it on with already. Get it over with.
Yeah.
So we can move forward in our relationship.
Yeah. So we can
just do it.
So we hurry up and, you know.
So we can get into
it. Do it.
Right.
Just do it.
Yes.
Nike.
Yeah, exactly. Like Nike.
Nike. Thank you.
So, okay. So, anything else about that we need to really talk about the nose man?
Just the sound effect.
I mean, I just want one last question about the Undertaker, my least favorite Blacklister. What is the device? Why does he take off his nose every 5 seconds? Like,
it's probably to breathe easier.
Okay, fine. But
come on, man.
You can leave it on. But the move where he's like, you did this to me. And it's like, pop. It's like the clown.
Oh, that didn't work.
Like, when he took it off and put it back on. It's really
I want to know more about the mushroom smoothies, whatever the hell it was doing there. Like, during that creepy song that we did.
And the I guess those are sores. Like,
some kind of weird. So, I mean, we've noticed that before, that they love to kind of do scars and disfigurements.
Well, I do like the idea,
show.
But that's the problem here. It's like when we first meet him, and this guy's like, he's very mysterious in that Stewmaker manner, and he's got the scars, and he's got the things, and the mushroom thing, and he's taking off his nose, like, oh, who's this guy?
Skeletor. Yeah.
And then cut to, he's like, just meh.
And again, that creepy song, if you listen to the lyrics of the song that we played, it's like, stay out of the light. It was like a vampire type song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it gave him this more mystery, and then really he's just a desk clerk at a life insurance agency with a little office, you know, just typing away, going, oh,
and he's obsessed with death.
This guy's account was canceled. Let me talk to him, you know?
Yeah. I gotta say.
He was just lonely. I think he was a very lonely guy.
That was a great fake nose, though. Because when he popped that thing on, it didn't even look fake at all.
Yeah.
But when it was off in the jar, it was like a plastic piece of crap.
Only
texty
thing.
It was just boop. Anyway. All right, so I like this because we get to see Red in action a little bit. And like, this is the weird thing where, so Lizzie decides and Red decide that the best way that they can we don't get the explanation before we see Lizzie and Tom just hanging out. You know, we see them
making pancakes,
being the old good old Lizzie and Tom that we love, and then we see Tom leave and Lizzie just flips out and, you know, turns stuff over and looking for things, and we get this explanation that, you know, Red says you've been presented with a unique opportunity to sort of, you know, find out what's what. And That seems a little difficult for me. As hard as she was taking the possibility of Tom, you know, being bad, or all the ups and downs they've had in the relationship, and sort of how much she loved and really depended on Tom, and all through all this sort of stressful time with Red. Now that she knows Tom is actually dirty and he's actually some sort of spy who probably wants ill will towards her. The fact that she can just be like, let's go do it, let's have sex, let's make out.
It's so weird seeing that.
I'm not buying that necessarily, Jules. I mean, you're a woman.
Last week, we found out. Jules, you're a woman. Tell us about this.
You're a woman.
You're our woman expert on the show.
I got nothing.
Could you go back to your super spy? If you knew Eric was a super spy, could you just go back and get info?
It's cute.
I mean, he's cute.
he's a good-looking dude.
He's a handsome man.
As is Tom Keene.
He is.
Well, she has to keep up appearances, right?
Yeah.
And she can't let him know. She doesn't know how dangerous he is.
Yeah.
She doesn't know what his motive is, and she's got to get to the bottom of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she's playing her cards close to the vest and trying to keep him engaged and biding her time while she figures that out.
Okay.
What other choice does she have?
No, I know, but
to like stonewall him, shut him out.
Sure. Okay. Well, I mean, I think it's a.
It doesn't seem pleasant.
It makes sense for the plot. I just think it's very believable.
It's obviously a very Mr. and Mrs. Smith cat game going on right now. They both suspect each other. I think
well,
even though
Tom does not suspect
no,
Lizzie
but
at
Tom
all.
But Tom is definitely off balance because I mean Red even said it. When he wanted to renew the vows, it's because he's reaching for something.
That
he's
was like
trying
a
to get some stability.
Effort.
Yeah,
trying
stability.
To figure
and
out.
And then
yeah.
also he's smart enough to I think realize too that if Lizzie doesn't want to sleep with him, then something might be up.
Sure,
because
of course.
Tom's cute, according to hot,
he
according
is
to
cute.
Julia. So,
but they've always had a very like touchy relationship, and so of course he's going to think something's up if she just completely shuts him out.
So yeah. it's his little litmus test.
Sure.
You want to sleep with me still? Okay, good. Then we're good.
Well,
I don't even need to sleep with you. I just want to know I just want to know you want to sleep with me.
Well,
and now I know you don't think I'm a spy. And now
well,
I can
Tom
go back
very much
pretending.
is thinks he's still in control. I mean, as he let his brother Craig know when he's like, look, I got this. Why mm-hmm. do you think I did that? You know,
I could read this girl.
And actually, there's been, you know, Jolene let him know that Berlin was sort of doubting him. And so there's this whole notion he had to burn a safe house. And so maybe mm-hmm. it's like, he's got to let Berlin, I think it's about Lizzie so much as it is about Berlin. Like, he's got to let them know that he has this thing in order to stabilize.
Yeah.
But I don't think he thinks that Lizzie's onto him at all. I mean, that's just to be clear on that. I think that he just thinks he's got it under control. He's just trying to keep up appearances to make sure that he's okay for Berlin so they don't send more people to F with his ish.
I think so, but I think especially after what happened last week, that close call last week, he's
yeah.
just cautious. But
okay.
he still thinks he's in control.
So we do the renewing of the vows, and then we have that situation where, well, first we see, you know, which I love, we see the big board. Lizzie's got her own big board working.
Yeah, she does. Where mm-hmm. is that?
I don't know.
It's the beginning of the homeland
yeah,
board, I like to call
it.
It's like
wrote,
a very
a
homeland
board.
Board.
Where,
yeah.
I wrote that.
Yeah, where is that big board?
Where is that?
Some
it's
secret
not the garage.
Location.
It's not in the post
yeah.
office.
It's just
not. Yeah,
it's in the garage
in
of the
garage.
House
yeah.
he lives in. Yes.
Exactly. It's covered
Honey,
up with, like,
I got some cheap. What?
Yeah.
She rented.
Covered up with,
like, Britney Spears posters. Maybe she rented a storage space or something like that. I don't know.
If this was a 60s TV show, there'd be a button like the Batcave or something like that.
Flip around.
Yeah, just
so she's got the big board working. And on that big board, she's got Gina Zanatacos, which
yes.
she'll be happy to hear. So she knows that there's a relationship there. She's got
Jolene.
Jolene, the Victor,
you know,
guy, right?
Yeah.
The guy who was murdered.
So she's making some connections there.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting there.
So they have to renew the vows, and to help renew the vows, the brother shows up. Good old Craig. Craig
yeah.
Keene.
She calls him in
yes.
to help
mm-hmm.
with renewing the vows.
But it turns out Craig Keene is not a brother.
Well, it turns out that, you know, this was partially a ploy to kind of maybe see to get Tom off balance, but it was more a ploy for her to get his brother and to check his fingerprints
right.
out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which was pretty, pretty smart.
Right.
I gotta say.
Uh-oh.
This scene with the whole renewal of the vows and uh-huh. her whole, I want to marry this man!
Yes.
It's like, what are you doing? You are the worst, what did I say? She is the worst actress. Not her, not
Megan Boone,
but like Lizzie Keene is the worst actress.
I don't disagree with you.
It was awful.
But I will say that I understand the emotional motivation of Lizzie Keene in that moment where she's saying that, I think she says whatever, we're up. She was very, you know, ambiguous. She's like, whatever happens, happens. And
oh,
the next,
so
the next things,
full of double entendres.
It'll be a wild ride, whatever
it is.
It'll
be a wild ride. You're the only one I don't have to pretend
yes.
with. Oh my God.
I took it as her
playing
nervous.
From the hip with you. Tom Keene.
I want to marry this man. After, like, for the last, since we were introduced to Red, since we've been introduced to this character, she's
sure.
been so, like, shut off and quiet and stopped, put a halt to the whole baby having thing. Like,
yeah.
now all of a sudden, right. Don't you think he's going to notice that?
Right.
Methinks she doth protest too much.
Oh, look
or
at you.
Not.
I got you. Nando, tell me why you cried so hard on the renewing of the vows. And you bought it.
It was always such a. I don't agree with you 100%. I think, yeah, she's a terrible actress, Lizzie, yes. Not necessarily Megan Boone, but in this scene. But I took it to more like nerves.
Yeah.
You know, wedding jitters, even though they've been married already. And this is just really just a formality of them renewing their vows. It still was something like, I'm so nervous type of thing. I kind of took it as, double entendres on both sides. Because I think even, again, Tom didn't realize this was going to happen until an hour before when he walks in the damn room.
A little comment on that, though. This is the second time they've been married. Craig was the one who married them the first time, as he says, I once again pronounce you husband and wife, which leads me to believe that they've never really been married legally.
Well, Craig, he was
interesting.
The church or something. He's got
church of the internet. Yeah,
he's got some
internet online thing.
You can make it up. Right. I don't think this is a legal marriage.
But yeah, I think you're right. So that'll help her when she's sleeping with a wrestler.
Yeah. Well, yes. She was never married.
I was never married.
Plus,
he's trying to kill me.
Yeah.
Leave him for me.
Totally. Come on, wrestler. Take off your shirt.
Take off your shirt.
Watch Homeland. It's worth it.
Sorry. Shout out to Diego.
Looking good, Blaine.
So we do get the brother. We do see the brother is actually in on this, right? We have that exchange between Tom and Craig Keane, who's AKA Christopher Malley, right?
Yes,
not Christopher O'Malley. Christopher Malley.
Malley.
That was an interesting exchange between the two of them. In fact, I like Tom, and I've been sort of critical of Tom as Joe and I have been, you know, with his sensible sweaters and his brow and everything else and his glasses. But the cool new spy Tom, when he takes off the glasses, I mean, it's such an old device, such an old school, Clark Kent device, but him taking off the glasses and making a mean face, I'm like, ooh, there he is. He's a spy. He puts on the glasses. He's like, hey, Lizzie. Aww. I'm like, oh, there's Tom again. Like, I'm like a little kid. Like, where did Tom go?
Tom?
Oh, there he is.
Tom?
He's the glasses. Like, I don't know. So I do like that. I don't know.
I like it too. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's fun. And he's actually doing it. Ryan?
Ryan Eggold. Yeah, he's doing it well. He's switching back and forth really
well.
He's
doing
a good
back and forth switch. It doesn't feel cheesy at all. It feels sort of earned, and I like it.
Yeah.
And he does seem, as the super spy Tom, he does seem kind of tough,
Oh, when he killed Jolene, that was kind of badass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Took off his glasses, cracked
with the
his
Cadillac
knuckles.
Cowboy at the same time. He's doing two for one.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's got it in him.
Yes, he does. Okay, so we find out that obviously the brother is not who he says he is. So that puts into action Red and Dembe, and they go. Actually,
Looking
Lizzie goes. Well, Lizzie goes in there first, right?
Yeah,
and really confronts him and takes him out. We can see Lizzie
takes him out. It was awesome,
and I do love that thing. Like, oh, I'm not going to talk to you. These guys are, and it's Red and Dembe. Like, hello, and so that was cool to be able to see them do that. It's this thing where Red has this, we've known over the last 18 episodes that Red can be funny and quip his way through things, but even when people are terrified of him, we're like, why are they so afraid of him? But we've also seen Red shoot people in cold blood and do a bunch of mean stuff. We know what he's capable of as well, so it adds a lot more gravitas when he walks in the room, and Dembe is back there doing God knows what he's going to do. But it was cool that scene, they got all the information they needed. There was no torture, there was no jumper cables and batteries or anything like that. It was, let's go to the museum.
Just a threat of mommy.
Yes. Let's take a walk. That was very, very sinister.
Absolutely.
With Dembe and Craig's mother, Chris's mother, excuse me.
Yes.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
No words needed to be said.
Yeah.
Dembe was funny in this episode.
He had jokes.
we're getting a little extra side of Dembe, looking at paint samples, laughing at the Three Stooges.
Yeah, I was like, what color is this?
It's funny.
Yeah. Dembe.
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 Oh, Dembe.
Oh, Dembe.
She's an old softie. So that was kind of a cool scene. That was very sinister in nature and got him to talk instantly. So they get him back, and they obviously are watching Three Stooges, and Lizzie comes back. And
I cried when he watched the Three Stooges. Right. I just love that.
That was funny.
That was funny.
Yes.
He got the hat.
Right.
And then he put the hat on the cane.
Yes.
And he left it. Raise your hand.
Yes.
I just wanted to mess you up there.
No, it's a great bit.
I just wanted to say that.
We should do Three Stooges after show.
We should do one.
Totally.
but not right now.
Yeah.
Because we're doing the Blacklist.
I thought this was a Three Stooges.
Yeah, there it is. Thank you.
Rimshot, please.
Somebody. they come back and then we get the call from Tom, which exposes Tom. Tom does the fatal mistake of mentioning Berlin.
Berlin.
Mm. Yeah. And what is Berlin? Who is Berlin? Which is what we've all wanted to know. And just before we can find out, my man jumps up. Full speed.
Your man jumps in through the window.
And jumps right out the window.
To his death.
He's still handcuffed, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But rather than talk about what Berlin is.
Yeah.
His only way out was to run out because he didn't want to face Tom.
So whatever Berlin was so dangerous and unnecessary.
And Tom was on his way.
And Tom's on his way.
And he's like, well, I don't know. I've got many options. But what a way to go. I mean, like, can't you, I mean. Is there another way to go than to run out? I mean, if I knew I was going to go, I'd do death by cop. I would say he's going to jump up and run out the window.
Yeah.
That's pretty dramatic.
That was pretty cool.
Did you buy that too, Nando?
What's that?
You buy that one too?
That he jumps out the window?
No, did you think that was like a cool scene and that was necessary?
If it was necessary for him to jump out the window?
Did you like the fact that he jumped out the window? Was that a great device for you? How did you feel about that?
Oh, as a device, the window?
You're killing me.
Who's on first? I don't know. Third base. I just think, you know, I don't know why you're even asking this question. Yeah, it was awesome when he jumped out the window, Joe. Yes.
I thought it was cheesy.
I don't know if you wanted
to. We thought it was goofy. So we're vocal about it.
The best part of it, though, was Red's reaction.
Right.
Okay.
That was great. That was a payoff.
Can we go back to the Three Stooges?
Yes.
Okay.
So I just try to get you to say something that's not just, you know, can you just, I don't know. Something critical?
I don't say anything critical on the show.
You leave me out on a limb like, this episode sucked. Julia's like, yeah, it sucked. Nando's like, hey, I don't know. I'm just Nando. I don't know. There's an episode. It happened. Are you on Red's payroll? It was a bad episode. It's okay, Nando. All right.
I don't know what you're
saying. You're certainly not saying it's good.
I'm not saying it's terrible, as you guys are. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's terrible. I thought I was giving some critical analysis, but apparently you want me to get really into the symbolism of the window.
Hot Takes Velasquez didn't show up today. Hot Takes Velasquez is not here today. This is Lukewarm Takes Velasquez.
Oh, boy. If you think I'm lukewarm, please post it up on YouTube. I think you're full of malarkey right now.
All right, I'm full of malarkey.
Yes,
malarkey.
You are. To be nice.
Malarkey Braswell. Okay, so he jumps out the window. We have that cool line by Red, right?
Okay.
Where he says, you know, the thing of like, that was great. And then Lizzie has that, you know, very unrealistic panic attack as a seasoned FBI agent. Like, what are we going to do? This is bull, you know.
Yeah, she's had this guy chained up and she beat the shit out of him, or beat the crap out of him earlier. Pardon me.
Mm-hmm.
I heard high schoolers are listening.
Yes. Watch your language,
sorry.
Please. No, but yeah, so that didn't ring as truth either. That
all of a sudden she like switched back and now Red
had to say the obvious, like, well, Tom's on his way and the cops are on his way. He's a dead man and we are here. What do you want to do?
Yeah, make a choice.
She's like, okay, let's go. Like, I didn't like any of that.
No.
So, but Demi was cool. Demi wiped down the room. And he's like, and what do you ask him? Get the chips?
Oh, the pretzels. The yogurt covered pretzels. He's all about those.
Get the pretzels.
Yogurt covered pretzels.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was a running gag throughout.
I all of that. And I like the fact that they have can we talk about the feed, the security feed they're watching all the time, too. You know, so they get to see.
Oh, from
that's
Apple
from the
guy.
Apple Man. Yeah, that's the old Apple stuff. Man. And that's how they got to spot the key.
The key. Ike.
Right.
That was the name of the lamp. Ike.
Ike? Oh, yes, Ike, that's right. From IKEA. They call it Ike.
Ike.
So.
And Uncle Flippo, who's gone? Uncle Flippo the Hippo?
That Uncle was Flippo? Show, right? I don't know.
That's how he exposed.
Oh, last episode.
Last episode.
Yes.
I don't know why I said that.
Okay. So the key is an Ike.
So what do we think this key is?
I don't know.
I mean.
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery.
Well, it's interesting because we saw the the to-go box, I guess, that Tom had under the floorboard. So we know that's
called,
that.
A go box.
A go?
A to-go box is something you get from
when you're fast food to go.
When you eat at Denny's and you want something to go.
Oh, okay.
That's a to-go box. That's a go box is where you keep your passports and your guns and, your stuff.
Oh, okay. So, all right. So, okay.
Jameson,
so maybe the key is for a to-go box then, because we haven't seen a to-go box yet.
All right.
That's what he's saying? I'm just saying
that we know it doesn't connect.
Thank you, Emil. It's much. Let me just cut Nando's mic. Okay.
Thank you.
So
I love you, Nando.
So we end with the complete big board. We see the big board's complete. Not complete, but it's still working. And I like the idea of Liz and Red looking at the big board together, and Red is like just as perplexed as Lizzie is, and it's like, you know, what is this? And I also like the idea of these two sort of really, as they've always been, but really sort of working this case together. You always get the we always talk about how Red is like, you know, one step ahead, five steps ahead, 10 steps ahead of everyone, where he's like, I don't know what the hell's going on, so I'm here just like you are. Let's look at this board and let's solve this thing. And I have the key, and I've got the, and he put Berlin at the top of the chain because he knows Berlin is at the top. And that to me was the best moment of the show.
What was that document? Huh? That burned Berlin document. Was that something recovered?
I think
from,
that was recovered from the
Tom's
fire.
Hideout?
Yeah, from Tom's hideout. That's okay. What I assumed.
Right.
That was coming
from
the
safe house. Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of just came out of nowhere.
Right.
With all only right. That one word, Berlin. Everything else is burned except Berlin.
Yes. Okay. So that was that episode.
For emphasis.
Convenient.
Do we say anything more about the Undertaker? Do we need to recap anything about that storyline? Do I miss anything?
Nope. He blows up.
Okay.
Thank God.
So that's a pretty. That it looked like a lot of explosives.
I didn't
too.
Look at the. I mean, the actor himself, I thought was really good. Unfortunately, I didn't have a chance. I'm having problems with the internet. I'm trying to get on the internet
to
look at the chat room and stuff. So, but kudos to him. I mean, you know, it's not against the actor. You just didn't like the character or didn't like the procedural part of the show.
I mean,
this week.
You know, it was a dog episode. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Cool. News and gossip, Nando?
I don't have anything because I can't look anything up on the internet. I was trying to get on chat. But, oh, you know what? I do want to say we did want to do some shout outs. Have some personal shout outs. Oh, you have some?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
I have some shout outs. Do you have some shout outs?
Yeah.
I have one very important one
that
I need
important
to get
one
out.
Too.
Okay. Uh oh. Oh, you cleared your throat for it and everything. let's hear it.
This shout-out is long overdue, and it's to our boy on Twitter, Mike Blanchard. When he found us, he stumbled upon our podcast, and then he binge-listened to us for 3 whole days and just did a whole marathon and listened to episode 1 through 14
Mike.
Nonstop. We love you, Mike.
Thank you very much.
And glad you enjoy it. So thanks, man.
And what about our guy,
Langley? Langley? Did I say it right?
Yeah.
We love you.
We love you, Langley, as well. But we also love other people that are named Internet.
Well, you know what? Let me give one shout out while you're looking up on the internet, because it's really slow. I want to give a shout out to an old college buddy of mine, Craig Velez. I sent you guys that.
Yeah,
which I thought was really, really cool. I haven't seen him in a while, but he is a teacher. He's an English teacher, and he's on my Facebook. He's one of my Facebook friends, so he saw some stuff about the Blacklist, which he loves, and he tunes in every week, and he actually uses some of our episodes, I don't know if all of them, to actually, he plays them just because he likes some of the critical analysis that we've done on about the show.
Oh.
So he actually likes to play them in English class. I guess he has some students that watch The Blacklist as well. And it's just to see how we actually look sometimes and dissect some of the scenes and talk about some of the things.
Should have told me that before I just said.
Some of these episodes.
Sucks.
Yeah, some of these episodes obviously are really probably good for English class. And some of these episodes are probably more for some other class.
That's why I took away my S word.
There you go. Good.
Exactly.
So yeah. So hey, Craig. Thanks a lot for listening.
Well,
and yeah.
That's cool. That's
Thank
really
you very
cool.
Much,
if anyone else has students that you're trying to educate, please let us know. Especially Flippo, so we can curb his language.
All of our normal folks, Holistic Health and Living. I did not want to join, but you're here. My twin brother Bart J. Braswell is still there. You know, commenting, making some funny comments. Cerebral Girl 1980, MDS 1978. Jeff Gavin, Danielle Brown, Taylor, we love Taylor S, Ashley Kearney, Melina Torres, Nakumis, Florida, I can't read this one. I don't know. Sasu 1, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9 times one. Complaina Sera, Jan, Jandals, Super October 71, Cynthia Vega, Doris Maynard, Aloe Jack, who's brothers with Aloe Black, and Scott McCauley. Thank you very much for all listening. Thank you for downloading us on iTunes. Thank you for rating us on iTunes. Thank you for watching us on YouTube as well. We appreciate all the ways you consume and listen to us, and we will continue to do that to give you more show.
More show.
More show.
More show, Joe.
Predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Mando?
I think that...
make it good.
Oh, God, I got to make it good. Why are you going with me first again? This is weird. This is a weird trend. I don't like
it's
this.
It's not fun, is it, Mando?
I don't mind. I just I like the joke of having you go first. I think that I think that Tom's going to find his brother on the street, and he's going to get very suspicious.
Okay.
How about that? That's so lame.
Julia?
Well, I mean, I can't blame Nando. This episode didn't give us much to move forward with.
I didn't see any sneak peeks.
You had hotter takes from the hallway. You know, hotter takes from the stairwell in Hollywood last week.
Well, good. Maybe I should have stayed there.
I don't know. I think this cat and mouse is going to between Lizzie and Tom is going to reach ahead. I think he's going to catch on to the fact that something just ain't right. Mm-hmm. And maybe he's going to put some sort of plan into action.
Right. I want to tell all of our iTunes and Twitter followers and all of our iTunes commenters and all of our YouTube commenters that they are all wrong, along with Joe Sanfilippo. Lizzie is not Red's daughter.
I'm sticking with you on that.
I'm sticking hard fast on that.
I disagree with you guys incredibly.
And I know the internet disagrees with me.
This room is divided. Well,
I'm sticking to it, and I want apologies from everyone in the entire internet.
Oh, yeah.
When I'm right. That's all I'm saying.
That's a good prediction.
Yeah.
That the world will, the world will apologize.
The show brand as well.
That is fantasy.
Nando, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me on Twitter at Nandovel, NANDOVEL, here on AfterBuzz as well for other shows with you guys like Hannibal and The Following and Bates Motel.
Sure.
And I'm doing Orphan Black, I believe, in a couple of weeks, which I'm looking forward to.
We'll see about
Best show. Oh, such an awesome show.
All right. Julia.
Find me on Twitter and on Instagram with my name, which is Julia Carely, JuliaCarely. Follow me.
And I'm and I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Joe K. Braswell, both at Joe K. Braswell. Joe Sanfilippo is at Joe Flippo, and he's also at josephsanfilippo.com. Thank you very much for joining us for The Blacklist. I think we have a week or two off, right?
I think we get a little time off. There was no preview.
Well, we got the basketball game next week, and then we have something else next week. So we'll see. But either a week or two off, and we'll see you very soon.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.